Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's March 23rd, 2023. It's time for Ask Us Anything. Welcome, everybody. So I've got a different setup here. My camera is in front of me separately. My laptop is off to my left. And it'll look like to you that's my right. But anyhow, I'll be looking over to check anything that may be on the screen. So as always, the new always, we're going to just set a brief energetic container before we start so we can have the sweetest energy available for our questioning. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do my shortcut, which is allies, please come. And we'll leave a moment for them to show up. Thank you, allies. Please create a membrane around the sacred space to hold in this good energy and ensure that all that enters here is of high vibration and benevolent intent. Thank you. There's our container, and we're good. So this is Ask Us Anything, and what we do here is we just open up to any questions y'all have. So let me know what you want to know. And actually, I'm going to make a technical adjustment here. I'm going to pause the recording briefly because I'm just realizing that me doing a separate camera, not in front of the laptop, is not really well suited for this event. So I'm going to pause here for just a second on the recording. All right, I just did a little technical swap and I'm better situated to work with you guys. So whoever's got a question, just chime in. Just hit the unmute on your device. Fran, hi. Go ahead.
I have a burning question.
All right, I've got a fire hose. Go ahead.
So last week we talked about EFT and you said that you used invocations in place of EFT, that you kind of dropped the EFT and now you use the invocations for that. So I was wondering if you could give me a demonstration of what that would look like. For instance, say I'm doing the EFT on emotional eating, mm-hmm. or I would, you know, do the tapping for mm-hmm. emotional eating. What would it look like to use an invocation for that?
I would do a healing invocation. I would say maximum clearing of any heavy energy or trauma that's leading me to do emotional eating to the greatest extent that serves highest good. And then I would relax and I would just stay passive and the energy would come in and do its thing.
So would you do that just once or repeat as needed? Or?
Well, I mean, when you do that round, you only need to say it once, of course, and then you just wait and let stuff flush out. If the problem persists, then you can do additional healing rounds on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just do it like a normal healing invocation with a specific focus.
Yeah, I guess that would be a custom healing invocation.
Okay. Okay. I was curious when you said that.
That's a great question. And again, try it both ways and see what your actual experience is as to what works better for you.
Okay.
Yeah. This is my recommendation anyway. Cool. Great question, Fran. And Fran has muted, so she's done. Who else has a question? Just jump in. It's first unmuted, first served here. Hi, Britt.
Hey. I'm going to just phrase it in a way of, like, how do I know what is mine, like energy-wise? And then how do I know that I'm feeling something more as in a collective energy? How do I know how will I know?
I have no idea because I can't tell myself. Okay. If it's a kind of energy that I might normally feel, I can't tell the difference. I have had instances where I felt an energy that was so uncharacteristic and so alien to what I would normally feel, I was pretty sure that it was from other persons or situations. And, you know, in my opinion, it really doesn't matter whether it's yours or someone else's. If you're feeling it, it's yours to deal with. And then you just do a healing infusion.
Exactly. That's what I guess is like what I mean. I guess the real question I need to ask, I guess, is with myself too, is what in the hell do I do with that? If it's not mine and it is collective and I'm healing it and I'm becoming that channel to heal it, what then do I do with it exactly? So that's, I mean, that
You
could be
mean,
it for
what do
me
you
too,
do
is
with the situation of being a transmuter, or what do you do with the energy itself? Is that
the
what are you
both.
at? Well, okay, so the energy itself, I mean, I would recommend the healing invocation. And if you know how to use that, just use that, and that hopefully will take care of it. If you have a different technique you prefer, do that. But in terms of why are you being given it, my belief is, you wouldn't be given the energy by the divine intelligence if you weren't able to handle it. And in my experience, it's a great privilege and honor to be able to transmute heavy energy on behalf of others. It's a beautiful form of divine service. And, when I started being given that role in some of my early ayahuasca ceremonies and didn't really get what was going on for a while, it wasn't explained to me by the medicine. It just started happening, and I've just gotten used to it. And, my experience is, if there's heavy energy from someone else, I just relax and call in the allies to help me, and I just relax and they clear it out. So if you can view it as a form of service and know that you are being a beautiful service to your fellow beings by doing that, then if you can feel good about it, I think that would be the optimal scenario. If it's helpful perspective, there are some groups who do that deliberately. I know of two specific examples in Tibet. There are Tibetan Buddhists who do, I forget what the, I want to say mugla, but that's not quite the word, but it sounds kind of like that. But they get together at a group ritual, and they deliberately call in the pain of the world into themselves and process it. The Quechua in Peru, the Quechua tribe, do a similar thing where they get together in groups and call in what they call hucha, which is heavy energy, and they help clear energy for the world. So the Tibetans have formal practice around it. The Quechua in Peru do it, and I'm sure there's tons of other groups that do it too. I just don't know the particulars. So it's a time-honored tradition of conscious people who are of service, and I definitely do it too, and we definitely have a lot of that going on in our Awakening Plus calls as well. So it's a thing. Is that all a helpful answer, Britt?
For sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. So Grant and Jan have not piped in yet. So if either of you has a question, feel free to jump in. Grant, hi.
Hi, Benjamin. I've been listening to the unconditional love things on your podcast for the last 3 days. And just
Okay.
wondering about the music. Are there any of those originals, or are they other people's?
Oh gosh. I cannot, as I sit here, remember exactly what songs are on those recordings, but I'll speak generally to the kind of music I do, which I'm sure will be true for those as well. I have learned quite a few songs that are used in shamanic ceremonies, ayahuasca specifically. And if it's in a non-English language, it's definitely one of those songs. Those songs are in Spanish and Quechua, one or the other or both. So if it's in a foreign language, then it's from ayahuasca ceremonies. I didn't write any of those. In fact, I didn't create any of the songs that I do in this. I used to be a singer-songwriter, but I'm not currently doing any original material in this context. If the song is in English, then it's a song that I've picked up for other places, usually from one of the New Thought performers. Like, if I'm sure I bet I sang "There Is Only Love" on some of those. That would have been a thematic
You
song.
did.
That's I think Karen Drucker does that one, if I'm not mistaken. And if I sang "Humble Yourself," that's by a different artist. So yeah, I just do songs that feel like they're resonant, and that isn't even an accurate statement, because the only time I do music in Awakening Plus events is if our allies suggest that particular song. I don't have, unless it's a specific like music guided journey. Obviously, I'm going to be doing music the whole time, but even then, I wait and see what song they call in order. I don't have a set list in advance. So that's a long answer, but the basically none of them are my original songs. Most of them are from ayahuasca ceremonies. Some of them are from other spiritual sources.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see that we've had Risa jump in. Risa, thanks for joining us. Hi. So Risa, the only other person here who's not yet asked a question is Jan. So she was here. So Jan, if you have a question, I invite you to unmute and ask your question.
Okay.
Hi.
I messed up when I got you up, but I have nothing. I didn't know that's all I'd have to do. I've been listening, but I was wondering, I had a question. How do you think would be a best way to find the ally that would be best for us?
I would ask that they just show up in the inner world, or that you be synchronistically guided to which allies are good for you.
Okay. Thank you.
There's all kind of ways that that can work. And have you done my course, Your Divine Allies, how to work with them more or something like that? Have you done the course inside the membership yet?
I don't think so. I easily get distracted and I go to another one of your things to another.
Ha ha ha. Well, there is a course that is specifically about working with your divine allies, and given that it's obviously an interest of yours right now, I would definitely recommend, it's not that long a course. Go do that, and there'll be all sorts of great info about how to do that in there. Okay. All
Okay, thank you.
right, cool. Thank you, Jan. Great question. And so Risa, welcome. And you are now the only one who hasn't asked a question. So if you got one, feel free to unmute and speak.
I didn't come with a question. I thought maybe the discussion would be stimulating and I would get to one.
Well, it might be. So if you don't have a question, you're welcome to just not ask one. I guess if you don't have one, there's not much choice on that. Cool. So now it's open season. Everyone's now asked a question except Risa, who doesn't have one. So whoever would like to ask an additional question, feel free to jump in. Hey, Britt.
I'm wondering if you could say, wondering if you could speak a little bit the gift of clairaudience.
Clairaudience.
Yes.
I'm sorry, your audio is a little bit garbled. I think you asked to hear about clairaudience.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, there are
Yes, can you hear
there
me now?
are yeah, you're good. I suspect getting a little closer to the mic will help
Okay.
and speak a little louder. Okay. So clairaudience is,
Okay.
there's a bunch of clair, CLAIRs, and clairaudience means inner hearing. And clairaudience usually manifests as hearing voices within that hopefully are offering like good guidance and helpful insights. So it's just one of the ways that people get insight in the inner world. I could then riff on this and talk about all the other clairs, but basically clairaudience just means I hear stuff. I hear voices. And I certainly am clairaudient sometimes. There's times when I just get information that passes through up. I'm often clairaudient when I work with clients, and I call them divine downloads. And I'm told something and then pass it along. I sort of hear it with my inner ear and then just pass it along to the client as that comes through. That's my main, and that happens sometimes with Awakening Plus events too. So that's just hearing it, and then it's either information for you or information that they're hoping you'll pass on to the appropriate person. Is that helpful, or is there a question beyond that?
Okay. What I'm trying to ask is, okay, specifically with me, I'm hearing a lot of very, it's either high vibration or low vibration, and it literally goes ee in my ear, right?
Oh, so you're hearing tones.
So, and I don't hear any, like, I get, yes. So I get divine downloads, but I feel like that's more of claircognizance for me. But, I'm this clairaudience is something new, and I'm hearing tones, and I don't know what they're saying, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
So I guess the first thing, are you sure that it's spiritual message and not like tinnitus or anything like that? Have you checked, like, have you had hearing checked to see if there's a physical cause of the tones?
That's interesting. But they're high and low vibrations. Like I can tell if the entity is high vibration or low vibration.
Oh,
You know what I mean?
so the sound is clearly associated with the appearance of an entity, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's obviously
Yes.
their thing.
Yes.
Does the high and low, is it just different frequency of nice, wonderful beings, or are you concerned that the low frequency might be a lower vibration being?
I feel protected from the lower vibration beings. So I don't like I'm not scared of them, you know.
Okay. So
But they're here, I mean, they're around for a reason.
I'm curious, so when you hear the low frequency, does it seem to you that that's letting you know that a lower vibration being has showed up? Is that the correlation you're understanding?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty easy. So,
That's how I think, yeah.
okay. All right. Have you done the
Okay.
white light test when a being shows up? Do you know how to do that?
No, I haven't got to do that yet, no.
Okay. All right. Do you have any divine allies you work with who could blast an unknown entity with white light to check him out?
Yes.
Okay. And who would you use to do that?
I feel like I would use Jesus and Archangel Michael. That's the only two I really trust.
Yeah, I would use Michael's right there behind me. You can see the guy just by my head there. He's one of my buddies.
Cool.
So
Oh,
yeah,
Halo.
Archangel Michael can totally kick ass in the inner world. So yeah, I would use him to
Okay.
throw an intense white light at any being who shows up, who like you don't already know clearly is one of your buddies and is familiar. And I would do that, if God Almighty showed up, because the dark side can disguise
Right.
themselves looking like anything, but they can't disguise their vibration. So if you can't tell by feeling
Yeah.
immediately, then blasting them with white light is a good reality check. If they're happy to get hit with that white light, oh, that feels so good, give me some more kind of vibe, and they kind of just are happy and are enriched by the white light, then you can trust them. But if you hit them with a white light and they flinch away or they don't like it or grumble, then that's a lower vibration being. You don't want to mess with it. So that's the test I use in the inner world. If a being shows up, I'll white light them just to make sure. I mean, I had in an ayahuasca ceremony not long ago, my dad showed up and he died a few months ago. And I wanted to be damn sure it was, him first. And I wanted to be sure he was at a vibration. I wanted to work with him, because when he was in human form, he had his issues. But this being, appeared really bright and shiny. So I white lighted him, strongly, and he was happy and vibrant. And showing up in the inner world, he was actually a much more evolved and conscious being. And he said, "I'd like to be your divine ally." And I was just so touched by that. So now I call Leonardo among my allies. So I don't speak that at Awakening Plus, but when I call in just directly, I call all of my benevolent ancestors, including Leonardo. So that's one example of how I tested even my own dad showing up, and I blasted him with a white light just to make sure he was an ally I've trusted. Is that a helpful answer and example there, Britt?
Okay. It is, but my clairvoyance isn't the best. Does that make sense? So I'm gonna have to really like, I feel like almost feel it.
Okay, well, let
I
me
don't know,
address that.
because I don't know. I would have a hard time seeing it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me. I actually address that in my book, where I talk about that how feeling and seeing are actually the same sense in the inner world. And the first spiritual
Oh,
teacher
okay.
I worked with, he said, actually, feeling is better than seeing, because if you're seeing it, you're outside it, but if you're feeling it, you're one with it. So you can actually trust your feelings more than you can trust your sight in the inner world. Because like I say, beings can disguise
Oh.
themselves to look like anything. They can look like the holiest being on the planet and be a dark, nasty thing. But they can't change their
Yeah.
vibration. And if you can feel, then you can feel their vibration. And if you're really good at feeling in the inner world, then you might be able to tell right away what kind of being you're dealing with, regardless of how they might appear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, and my feeling sense is much stronger than my visual. So you and I are similar that way. But there's so many ways to perceive in the inner world. However you perceive in there is fine, as long as you can perceive what you need to perceive to do your service, then who cares how it shows up? as long as it works. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Great question, Britt.
Yeah, Benjamin, I was doing a fair bit of healing work. I'm fairly new to your process. I've been, I think I'm about day 22 of your work. And I was doing it quite a bit of healing work at night, probably for about an hour and a half, and I had problems sleeping afterwards. Is there any contraindications on that?
Okay, I apologize. I had a little trouble understanding you. So if you could repeat your question, I would be grateful.
Yeah, I'm fairly new to your work.
Okay.
And I've been doing a fair bit of healing work at nighttime. Okay. One night I was doing about probably an hour and a half of healing work.
Okay.
And I had problems sleeping. Is there any contraindications about doing it late at night? Or?
Well, for some people, yes. For some people, no. You have to go by your own experience. What I would do is, first, I would recommend doing healing work when you're alert. To do healing work well requires you to be kind of sharp and present, if at all possible, if you're doing it like voluntarily and not just because you got triggered. And if you're alert that at late, that's great. And to transition, you might just say, do an invocation for sleepfulness. Just say maximum, deep restorative sleep that serves highest good, please. And just, say that, relax and let the energy come in and shift your field. And then you might be able to go to sleep when you call in the specific vibration of sleep. And that would hopefully, override whatever stimulating stuff you got from the healing work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. And again, you'll just have to find out if that works, then you can do healing work later. But if you consistently find that I do healing work and then I can't sleep, then maybe you should do the healing work earlier in the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Great question.
Okay, I would ask you, I've had your course since 2 or 3 days ago.
I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
And I want to be a healer.
Yeah.
I don't know, should I start small? I have one lady that's got some really really big issues.
Well, if you're going to start small, you need to work with babies or infants.
Oh, I don't know any.
I'm kidding. That's a joke. Or midgets.
I'm really sorry I said that because I just got a brand new grandbaby.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe you should. All right. No. I would recommend just start, with whoever's around. Just take whatever you have and just do the healing work and see what happens. Especially when you're just kind of ramping up, I would recommend doing the work for free at first and saying, okay, the only thing I ask of you in return is to let me know what actual help you got, if any, and to be really honest with me if my healing work didn't help you at all. Just, honest feedback is important when you're starting.
Yep.
And then, just baby step it and just start with whatever you can do and then see where it leads. If you start getting good feedback and then that'll encourage you to do some more and you just kind of see where it goes. Yeah.
I'm on my way.
All right. Sweet.
Thanks.
Why the heel not? Hey, Risa.
Hi. So that was reminding me, actually, here's a little healing. My finger with scissors when I was trimming flower stems. So I've been giving it some attention. And I did actually have a doctor look at it today. It was, when I unwrapped it, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but still it hurts. But I was thinking, there are so many theories about how a particular condition or injury relates to and a spiritual condition or injury and or spiritual state. And I guess because of my finger, I want to go, what does it mean? But Yeah, but I think that whole subject is kind of interesting because it goes both ways. I mean, people blame people for being sick sometimes. Oh, you aren't doing the right thing. And then other times, there's so many ways that it's interpreted. And as a subject, I'm kind of interested in the different ways people look at it. And I just thought that might be an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, I definitely have some thoughts on that. I don't know any light worker who isn't being hit with challenge these days. And that does sometimes come in the form of physical challenges. I mean, Spirit Song is such a great example. I mean, I'm convinced she is literally an embodied angel. And she's got all kinds of physical problems. That's why she's usually not on these calls, is because she's got something going on that needs her attention, or she's, too tired out from dealing with stuff during the day to join us, So, and she likes to give the example. I mean, Amma the hugging saint, who, if you believe what they say, is a full-on avatar, a completely pure divine being. Her whole body is riddled with arthritis. And does that mean Amma's got some terrible karma of some kind? And Ram Dass, this beautiful, great enlightened teacher, had a stroke and has been, was debilitated for years. Does that mean he had bad karma? Because sometimes a being, for whatever karmic reasons, will choose to have some challenge like that, and there is karmic goodness from it. And like I use Stephen Hawking in my book as an example of someone who chose to be a paraplegic, I believe. At least that's my theory. So he wouldn't get distracted from his work, but in the process, he inspired people to be much more compassionate toward people who had severe disability, or different ability, the way they would say it now. So yeah. So I don't believe that, physical ailments mean that you screwed up or you're not thinking right. I don't think most people have that level of control over reality, And I also know, well, I certainly believe anyway, that a certain amount of challenge, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or whatever, is catalyzing our growth. And so the challenge sometimes will show up physically for very good reasons to catalyze us to our next level of growth. So no, I don't think it, if someone has a severe physical challenge, they didn't screw up or, mess up. It could just be that that's the catalyst they needed for their growth. It would be the theory I would put on it. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? Please feel free to contradict me if you have a different opinion.
Well, if it's a catalyst for growth, then I guess it's still worth questioning what message it has
Well,
for
yeah.
you. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, if you can identify there's some habit pattern you have, whether you're doing something physically or emotionally or whatever, that catalyzed that disability or that challenge, then maybe it's a wake-up call to do something about that. Yeah. So, totally. I mean, I got a wake-up call with my mental clarities, and I had to completely revamp my lifestyle to be able to function optimally. So I had my own wake-up call on that level a while back. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got a question about anything?
I guess I do,
Okay,
actually.
shoot.
My son, or my son, my husband had a stroke and some where he couldn't, he can't drive, and he has his left hand, and it he can't do things with it. And I'm wondering what I can do for that.
In terms of healing it? Well, use the healing invocation. You could get into embodied awakening first and just say, Spirit, flow the energy through me for a maximum healing of whatever you're asking for the healing of, the hand or the ability to drive or whatever. And I would definitely follow up with the karma-free safety clause, to the greatest extent that serves highest good, this or something better. And then just relax and be the reed through which the energy flows, and it'll do what it can. If he's willing to do the healing invocation is at the same time, where he's simultaneously saying maximum healing that serves highest good, please, for the healing of all stroke symptoms, and then he say, to the greatest extent that serves highest good, this or something better. If you're both doing it at the same time, that'll probably make it even more effective. I can't guarantee a particular outcome, but it's worth a shot.
I can get this on tomorrow to get some of the words I missed to write down when you were talking.
Yeah, do you have my book? Well, it's in the book.
Okay.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it's on page. Do you have the print or the Kindle?
It's on my iPad.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, toward the end, there, I think the first appendix A, has all the invocations there summarized on two pages.
Okay.
So just, the basic format is there. And I will be posting this tomorrow as well if you want to go back and check it. So that'll be roughly around the 33-minute mark of the recording, just FYI, if you want to note that.
Okay.
So that will be roughly where I say those things.
Okay. It's the first appendix of your book in about 33 minutes.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you.
You're
The
welcome.
first appendix is one thing, and then 33 minutes into the recording of this session is the second part.
Did you understand her clarification, Jan?
I guess not. I thought she was talking to you.
Okay, so part A is in my book, there's the appendix A that has the just all the key invocations in one place. And that's where the Hollow Reed invocation is and the healing invocations there. So the basic wordings that you would build on are there. And then when I tomorrow post the recording of this event, Ask Us Anything, right around the 33-minute mark of the recording will be our little discussion with those exact phrasings.
Okay,
Okay.
cool.
Thank
Thank
you
you.
for catching that, Risa.
Don't ask me again. I don't have any more questions.
Okay. I won't question you about your questions. All right. Grant, you got anything?
No more good, thank you.
Okay. What about you, Risa? You got anything else?
I hear my dad coming. He's fallen a couple of times, but I don't have a question about it. So I guess
Okay.
just a thought.
Okay. Well, there's no duration that this call has to go. So if we're out of questions, we can wrap it up. Or if me saying that inspires someone to suddenly ask another question, you can jump in. Last call.
I like this event. I'm sorry we don't have more questions tonight,
It's okay. It's all perfect.
but
I just go with the flow. And like I say, we could have a 10-minute version if there's only one question, So it's all good. Okay, so we'll wrap it up then. Thank you all very much for popping in, and it'll be here on the recording tomorrow if you all want to check it out and review anything. So let me dismiss the allies. Allies, thanks for being here. Go if you must, stay if you will. Please remain with anyone who's been part of this event for as long as it serves their highest good, even those on the recording. Thank you, allies. Where would it serve highest good to go? What would it serve highest good to do? What would it serve highest good to communicate and to whom? Righty. All right. Thank you all very much for being here. I enjoyed this. And we'll get it up in the archive pretty quick. Okay. Many blessings to you all. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being an
Thanks,
awake.
Benjamin.
Thanks for bringing your bright, shiny selves. All right. Bye-bye.